Praise God. Who said 13? Sister Teresa, you got it. You got it. And when they came in, they went up. Amen? And remember, we go up. Praise God. Hallelujah. We always go up. There's always room to go up. Don't get tired of hearing that. Praise Jesus. Just do it. Well, how do I do it? You just step into what the simple words are. Go up. Go. You know something? There's something. I think I might have put it in a post recently. I heard, and I believe it to be true, because every time I've seen this animal do this, I've seen them what they had to do in order to do it, and that was they had to use their head, and that's the horse. If a horse is laying on his side, if you will, the only way the horse can get up is to move his head first. He can't just, you know, get his legs up and stuff like that. And if you want a horse to go in a certain direction, you got to do what? You got to pull his head in that direction that you want to go in. If you want the horse to slow down, you pull back on his head, and he will slow down. Of course, you can kick him, and he'll start going faster. But to cause him to slow down or to have him go left, you pull that way. To have him go right, you pull that way. And he will go in whatever direction you lead him to. And so it's like, okay, if I'm going to go up, I got to. That being said, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Whatever direction you want the horse to go in, you turn it in that direction. Can we all agree? And for a horse to even get up, he's got to use his head first. Does that make sense? Okay, so for him to get up, and then the rest of his body comes. And so with that being said, if you want the horse to go left, you pull it to the left. You want him to go right, you pull it to the right. Even in riding a bike or riding a motorcycle, if you will, whatever direction you want to go in, you turn in that direction. If you will. So if I want to go up, what do? Look up. That was the whole thing. So you look up. So when you're in that posture of prayer, you're not just looking forward. You're now looking upward. You're not allowing yourself to be overwhelmed by what it is you either have to pray for or what you are in the midst of going through. You start to look up. Up, the atmosphere, it gets clearer. Here, and I like what Abraham Lincoln said as it was quoted. I won't be able to quote it verbatim, I don't think. But he made this statement. He says, I can understand how man can just look like on a horizontal plane. He didn't use horizontal. But I can understand how man can just look around him and say that there is no God. But I cannot understand how man can look up into the heavens and say that there is no God. Because in looking up, it's like, man, you see the wonders of God. And so in going up, you start to enter into the wonders and the glory of God. I hope you understand what I mean. It's not kooky, it's not goofy, it's not, you know, spooky kind of stuff. But it's like the atmosphere, what you contend with here on this earthly plane, there very few go up. Most stay at this level. And so there's a lot of activity going on right here. But when you start to go up, all of a sudden, you start to get beyond those things, and since everybody is still down there dealing with the activities of life, you get to be in an atmosphere where now your focus and your concentration can be above the current state and conditions. I'm just speaking spiritually, but I hope you understand what I mean. You start to look up, and you start to go up, and then all of a sudden, the presence that you go into, you no longer are bombarded by the presence that you've just abandoned or left. So whatever the problems are, you just go higher than the problem. Yes, we can cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us, if you will. But we got to get beyond that. We got to go above that. And when we get above that, then we can now start to hear and we can start to see and we can start to understand. It's very difficult to really understand what's happening when you're in the thick of it. But when you're away from it or when you're above it and you can see down upon it, then you can really perceive or have a better perception of what's going on and you have an understanding of what you need to do. Point being, going up. I share it with you about even Moses. He went up on the mountain. The Lord called him up from where the people were, and he went up, and he spent 40 days with the Lord in his presence, and God revealed things to him, if you will. Jesus, it was a I'll just say a pattern for Jesus. because Jesus would pray morning, noon, and evening. Jesus would pray in the midst of wherever he was. He would be like it was with John, not John, but Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, when he died. As Jesus was going to the place where Lazarus was, he prayed. So that was even on a level plane, if you will. He prayed morning, he prayed noon, he prayed night. He'd pray all through the night, or he prayed through the day, if you will. He did various different things, if you will, concerning prayer. But there were times, many times, where Jesus would go up into the mountain and pray. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus became, was transformed, if you will, or he was transfigured right before the disciples. His clothing and all became glistening white, and the disciples beheld it, and it struck Peter so much that Peter said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." And so then he hears the Father say, you know, "This is my beloved son." You hear him, you listen to him, if you will. But Jesus would go up into the mountains and pray, if you will. And there's just something about getting up and getting away from all of the clutter and everything else that is going on to give you a better perspective of things. It's quieter up there. It's not as busy up there, if you will. And so that secret place of going in and getting alone with God, you're looking to go up. You're not looking to stay here. Amen. So they went up. And as we go on throughout the scriptures, I share with you also about the Apostle Paul, how he was teaching on that. I think it was the third level of that house. And he taught from morning all the way till the evening, if you will, and late into the night, to where that guy fell off, and then Paul went and raised him from the dead, and then he continued teaching, if you will. But there's just something about going up. It was like with Peter, excuse me, Peter, when he was hungry, he went on top of the house, if you will, and then he went into a trance, and that's a holy trance. It's not kind of like the trances we deal with on this day and hour with some of the various religions that are out there. But he fell into a trance, if you will, and that's where he saw the vision of the sheep rolling down, and he saw every kind of bird and beast and unclean animal. And then he heard the Lord say, "Peter, rise, kill and eat." And Peter's like, "Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." And then God says to him, what I have cleansed, you must not call common, if you will. And so it's just something about going up. Yeah. And when you're praying, not trying to play tricks on your mind, but see yourself going higher. And as you're living on a daily basis in your walk, don't live like you're still just on that same level. See yourself going higher in the things of God. Now, of course, some activity is going on within you that qualifies or verifies that you're going higher. But it don't happen just by doing nothing. It doesn't happen just by, you know, just living the same old normal way. Same old normal way. You still bombard it with the same old thoughts and the same old thing. You see everything the same old way. But as you start to go higher in your walk with God, you start to see things a different way. You see things from God's perspective concerning life, concerning salvation, concerning the church of the living God, concerning our mission, concerning who we are and what our reason is for being on this earth. You know, our natural birth, again, got us into this world, if you will, but the spiritual birth from above, you know, that got us into that heavenly realm, if you will. That got us into the realm of the Spirit, but not just any spirit, into the realm of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. You know, it just brought us into God's kingdom, if you will. And so it's like living from there rather than living the same old way. If we're just going to live the same old way, salvation is not going to mean much to us until we die. When we live based on what we receive from God, what we receive as far as a spiritual blessing, and we need the spiritual blessing in order to see the natural manifestations come forth, if you will. The devil will bless you, and you can just do certain things. The average Joe Blow person can just do certain things, and they can come into wealth, if you will. But you want that blessing that God put on Abraham, and from Abraham it got on Isaac, and from Isaac it got on Jacob, and from Jacob it got on Joseph, all the way down to Jesus, to where Jesus could walk on water. Jesus could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Jesus had no worry, if you will. He had no cares, no shortcomings, no shortages of anything. Jesus was in the bottom of the boat or the back of the boat, however you want to look at it, asleep in the storm. How can one do something like that? He's in a place that he wants all of us to be. And it's obviously different from even his disciples who were with him. They were all in the boat together. Only Jesus was at peace. They were all in that same boat, all suffering from the same winds, the same waves, the same water, if you will. That same boat was sinking, and all of them were in there, but only Jesus was sleeping at peace. There was something about him. He was in a place that they weren't, but he was wanting us to get to that place. And so in this day, time, and hour, still he wants us to get to that place where we have no worries, no concerns for this world. The Bible defines, it says to us, to be anxious for nothing, anxious, worried, frightened, if you will, panicking, just overwhelmed by stuff, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And then what does it say? Come on, because you know what the word says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. It's bringing you into that place where Jesus is. And it's concerning everything, because he says, you know, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. And so coming from a natural into the realm of the spirit, we still have those natural traits. And so we get faced with some things here on the earth that we begin to respond in the natural. And God is saying, no, not anymore. Now you respond from the realm of the spirit. Now you respond the way I tell you. So what do? He says, don't worry about a thing. Pray with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How are you going to thank God in the mess? Because you know he's going to bring you out of the mess. And you just thank him in advance. You know he's going to dead. You're going to do this. You got to do this. If you don't do it, it won't get done. You didn't call me to be a failure. You called me to be blessed. Hallelujah. So they went up. I don't want to jump all over the place, but I don't know if any of you did take time to read the post that was written. But Sunday, I shared a little bit about praying for what God wants. And that's why we're in Acts. And I want to get to actually chapter 4. Just checking on the time. Acts chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 26. But let me share this with you from what I had wrote in the post. And if you read it, good. If you didn't read it, you ought to read it. And then pass it on to somebody else, because somebody else will get blessed by it. The word says, if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. When the early disciples of Christ went into that upper room after his ascension, they continued with one accord. And the purpose was to remind us of that word, one accord, and what it meant. One mind, one passion, no opposition amongst them in prayer and supplication. There was no division, strife, or contention. They sought the Lord for what he had promised them. They sought for the comforter until the comforter came. He showed up in power. The baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire appeared and immersed everyone in the room. Glory. That's how it began for the New Testament church or assembly of God's people in the earth under the lordship of Jesus. Fire and glory was on the scene. We were never meant to be cold, indifferent, or divided. Opinions bowed the knee to the truth that set men free. Not of this world, born from above, influenced by the kingdom, unseen to the naked eye, but more real than the person next to you. That's good stuff. That's in your post. And you can memorize that and share it with somebody else. They'll be impressed with you. Wow, praise God. You just told me a thing or two. And you get it for free. This kingdom spreads through preaching, birthed out of prayers and intercessions of the saints still here on earth, not the ones that are in heaven. We, you know, some people believe, you know, we can pray to the saints and the saints will intercede for us. That's not biblical. That's man's teaching, man's doctrine, but that is not biblical. We don't pray to saints. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. If we're going to pray, we can pray to the Father. We're going to pray, we can pray to Jesus. We're going to pray, we can commune with the Holy Ghost, if you will. But we do not pray to others who have died. We do not pray to saints, if you will. We do not expect saints to be in the presence of God interceding for us. Jesus is our intercessor. The Holy Ghost is our intercessor, if you will. So they got it down. Another thing, we don't become angels when we die. So, oh, they're just an angel. No, God created all the angels at one time. Amongst those angels was Lucifer. He had ranks. He had archangels. He had cherubs. He had seraphims, if you will. He had different ranges or levels or positions of angels, if you will. But he created them all at once. He didn't. Angels don't get born, and we don't, you know, angels' population don't increase because somebody dies on earth. So, you know, pushed all of that stuff out of the way. The Bible says that he created man a little lower than the angels and then crowned it with righteousness and exalted him above the angels to be over all of the works of God's hands. Angels are now sent forth to minister to us and to minister on our behalf. You notice there were times where Jesus, especially when he was in when he was tempted, after he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, immediately, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. They came and ministered to Jesus. They will come and minister to us. They ministered strength to Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the devil came to him with those temptations, if you will. And so the angels are sent to minister on our behalf. They are sent to assist us in the work of God. They are not to be worshipped, and we don't become one of them when we die. Praise God. We are sons of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. So with all of that being said, when we come to the kingdom, birthed out of intercessions and spread by the saints still here on the earth, that's what I mean by that. As we cry out unto God according to his will, plan, and purpose. Our example is Jesus. And he said this. What did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. We may feel a certain thing or desire a certain thing, but it is his will. But is it his will? In other words, we may be inclined to do something, or we may be inclined, we desire a certain thing, but is that a part of God's will? Is that a part of God's plan for us? Is that just something that we want for ourselves? Because most times when we do something like that, we end up with an Ishmael and not an Isaac. We end up working something up in our flesh rather than receiving what God wants to bring through the realm of the Spirit. Amen? So, our highest priority is not to satisfy ourselves for personal happiness, but to complete our assignment to the glory of God. That is true happiness. That is true happiness. Knowing that we have done the will of God. When it's all said and done, as Paul says, I've run the race, I've finished my course, you know, I've kept the faith. Now I have laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's preserved not only for him, but for all of us, if you will. And so there's an assignment that God has. And as you're going up, you start to see things again from God's perspective. So you don't get caught up in the, how many of you ever heard of the term rat race? What does that mean to you? Anybody, everybody, somebody? Real quick. Rat race. Free for all, everyone's trying to get the cheese. It's a mess. Okay. Everybody agree with that? Anybody got anything to add to it? No rules? Okay. So it's crazy. It is crazy. Well, God didn't call us to a rat race, if you will. He called us to divine order. He called us to see life for what it's really all about, if you will. We can get caught up into the rat race of things, and we start just behaving like all the other rats. And we're not even a rat. No, we are blessed. Hallelujah. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It houses the very presence and spirit of the living God, if you will. It is for God's glory. It is for God's purpose, if you will. I know we might get tired of hearing that, but it's true. It's just true. And we have to remind ourselves, because otherwise we start engaging in stuff. And I'm telling you, you can be saved and still be lost. I mean, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're lost because you're saved, but you don't know what to do with yourself. And so then you revert to what you know what to do. And God is trying to say, no, come on up higher. No, come on. I want you to see things from my perspective. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as what? Come on, somebody who knows their Bible. For as what? For yes, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Higher, higher, higher. And that's where we want to get to. We don't want to impress people with human knowledge and human wisdom. That don't mean nothing in the presence of God. We want the wisdom that comes from above. We want the wisdom that the world has no access to. We want the wisdom that created all creation in and of itself. We want to tap into that rather than just some educational books that are written by men in an institution. No, we go up for glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense? We want to access the divine, because that's who we are. We have the divine nature in us now. That's what Peter tells us. And he tells us to cultivate this divine nature. How? By adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge, temperance, and dot, dot, dot. Add to it. Build on it. You got the platform of faith. Now build this house. Praise God. Yeah. Work this work for the glory of God. Live it from God's perspective. It's totally contrary to the ways of the world. The world is in darkness. God is light. Hallelujah. And so, anyways, let me go ahead and finish this. This is good. I like this. I'm glad the Holy Ghost gave it. His power is released, because after all, true happiness is completing our assignment to the glory of God, to the satisfaction of our God, to the doxa, the very glory, magnificence of God. In other words, we're magnifying God in everything we do. People's, and man, you really good. They's just seeing the glory of God, that's all. There's no good in you. When I say that, I'm talking about me too. I learned that from Paul. Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So anything good is that which came from God. That's why we don't claim no glory for ourselves. We give it to him. We know who we are. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know ourselves before coming to Jesus. Now we know who we are in him. Praise God. And all of the goodness comes from him. When the rich young rulers came to him saying, good master, Jesus said what? Anybody remember? He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. So what that person was saying was the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. And when people look at you and say, wow, you're this or you're that, you just say, that's God. That's God. You see anything good in this vessel, that's God. You see any bad things, flawed, that's of the old man trying to kill it. Thank you for letting me know. Oh, let me stick another stake in there. Praise God. Drive it out of its misery. Praise be unto God. So his power is released to the degree of his will being accomplished. Think about it. Why is Dad going to release his power simply for us to do our own thing? There's no reason for him to do it. But the degree of his power is released to the degree of his will being done. We want more of Dad. We want more of his power. We must do more of his will. And as we are executing his will, to that degree, the level of power is released. Sunday was a good. It's always good whenever we come together, especially as we have God in our midst, and we should never take it lightly or take it for granted. But the gentleman that came forward, Brother Albert was his name. Brother Joseph's not here. I think it was Albert was his first name. Albert, okay. And so in praying for what was revealed from him about, you know, the injury and things that he had went through, Minister Posada is right over here. Brother Finn is right over here. I look at Brother Finn, I say, you have anything? I look at Minister Posada, you have anything? And he says, you remember what you said? You said, Apostle, I just something about the left ear, something about the left ear. I just hear some a popping. I hear a popping. It's like something popping. And so I say to Albert, I say, is there anything wrong with your left ear? What does he say? No. He said no. And then what does he say? Praise God. Isn't that something? Because that's how people can be. And it's not to put them on blast or anything like that. But the Spirit of God will reveal something, and then you'll address people, and they say, No, that's not me. And then if you listen to them, just give them 30 more seconds, and then they're going to spill the beans on themselves. And you say, yep, that was it. And the thing of it is that when the Spirit of God reveals something, he doesn't reveal it to embarrass. He doesn't reveal it to destroy. He reveals everything to edify. That's what the gifts are for, to the edification of the body. It's not to draw attention to an individual. So, oh, that person moves in the spirit of wisdom. He moves in faith. He moves in, you know, it's not about that. It's about edifying, building up the body of Christ. Jesus gets the glory because he is the revealer of all things. And so I'm praying for him, and then God speaks by the Spirit of God to Minister Posada. He does something to Minister Posada, and so Minister Posada shares what he shares, and then it's like, that's it. Jesus is healing you of that deafness. And so the thing of it is, and the point of bringing that out, is that God is doing the work, and he gets all the glory for it. Sunday was an awesome day, and tonight is an awesome night. How many of you feel old? Y'all learned from last week. How many of you know that you're new? Okay. Bam. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible doesn't say anything about me being old except for the old man. And he tells me what to do with the old man. And so just because your physical body goes through something does not take away from who you are in Christ Jesus. The fact that you are a new person in Christ. You let that newness devour the old. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to share this and then I'll stop. There were three words I wanted to get to. And the thing of it is in Acts chapter 4, verse 26 through 31, you can read it, but it was just a prayer that Peter then prayed after being released from prison, after being beaten, because they only preached in the name of Jesus and they would not stop. They would not stop. No matter what they said, they would not stop. They warned them. They beat them. And they still would not stop. That's the stock that we are of. They may threaten us, but we don't stop. And we don't conform to the image of what they think the church is. We learn about who we are from God's word and from those who lived before us who measured up to the standard of God's word. That's the church. The church never changed her identity. We may have some fakers and some pretenders. We may have some those who are appearing to be an angel of light, but they're actually an angel of darkness, if you will. But in that prayer, Peter prayed, and they prayed for the will of God, and God moved. And this is the whole thing. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37, you can read that one also. But there were three words that the Lord had given me throughout the course of last week. And so I wrote them down, and then I wrote some brief definitions. I'll share these with you, and then we'll end for tonight. You can even stand on your feet, if you will. Three words come to mind, but there were three words that I had received: entrenched, preeminence, and prominence. Now, take that along with 4, verse 27, I think I said, through 31. Entrenched, that we are surrounded by his presence, love, and protection. Preeminence, that God gives us distinction, dominance, and superiority over our enemies in the land. Number three, prominence, that the glory and impact of the early church be manifest in this latter church. Say these words with me: entrenched, preeminence, prominence. Would you do me a favor? It's not for me personally, but as a corporate body, would you commit yourselves for the next 10 days to pray these words into existence? 10 days straight. The definition of it. If you don't have the post, you don't have the book. You can get the post. It's on the, it should be on the website. These three words: entrenched, preeminence, and prominence. That people will recognize that God would so exalt this ministry in this land that people recognize. They know a little bit about us. They know some things about us, but not to the place that we want to go to. And that's why we got to go up. We can't just live on this natural plane. And we can't just allow the church to be defined by mere religion. We must represent the true church of the living God, because that's who we are. We're true from the inside out. Our conviction holds to the truth of God's word. Amen? So what are you going to do for the next 10 days? Okay, and you can use Acts chapter 4, verse 27 through 31, just to see. They had been thrown in prison, they had been beaten, but they got released, and they went back to the disciples, and they shared with them, and then they prayed, and then the power fell. Amen. So for the next 10 days, we commit ourselves to this. And you know, others in this work, share it with them as well for the glory of God. Amen. Father, we thank you. As an assembly, we thank you for the holy calling to the body of Christ. We pray for these three words: entrenched, surrounded by your presence, your love, your protection. Preeminence in this land, superiority, dominance, Lord God, distinction, prominence, so that the glory and impact of the early church be manifested in great power and authority in this latter church. Let it happen in Antioch. Let it happen in Threshing Floor. And let it happen everywhere you desire it to be, in the name of Jesus. Now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of Abba Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be multiplied and increased in each and every one of your lives until we come together again, in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 10 days. Everybody say 10 days. All right. Praise God. Thank you very much. The Lord be with you.